This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. A few days ago, Shaughnessy Webb cut her hair. I mean, she cut it all off, prompting a variety of actions from strangers, friends, and family. Her dad misses her little girl's long, curly locks. Her Facebook page, on the other hand, is filled with cheers and compliments on the new look. The choice to chop is arguably a big decision for anyone, but Shaughnessy is an African-American woman, and hair is much more than a fashion statement in the community where she comes from. Hair is identity. It conveys ideas about things like sexuality, socioeconomic class, and education levels. The complex relationship black women have with their crowning glory inspired Shaughnessy to take a hard look at social stereotypes that get tangled up with hair. She spent the last few years interviewing women on their hair choices and how those choices influence the way they're perceived. And she managed to tease out of those reflections a new stage production that opens in Durham this week. It's called I Love My Hair When It Looks Good, and Then Again When It Looks Defiant and Impressive. And I'm pleased to welcome the writer and director as my guest today. Welcome back, Shaughnessy Webb. Good to have you here.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Three actors as well from the production. They are Yolanda Rayburn, Hazel M. Edmund, and Aurelia Belfield. Welcome to all of you. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
So, Shaughnessy, you've been working on this for a number of years now. Tell us when you – well, first of all, let's get your personal history with you and your hair.
Yeah. So this show started to develop for me when I was away at Naropa University in graduate school in Boulder, Colorado, where I was part of the very small 1% African Americans there. And identity for me was so prevalent, and it was something I was really paying a lot of attention to. And over the years, I went natural. I was chemically straightened, you know, from a very young age and decided to go natural when I was in college. So back in the late 90s, when it wasn't very popular, didn't have a whole lot of role models other than maybe Erykah Badu. And so probably at that point, hair started to really mean something to me. It was the first time that I had been exposed to a lot of African and African-American history as an undergrad. And at the time, hair was sort of about politics and really trying to assert myself as a black woman and not wanting to be chemically straightened. Over the years, I've had a number of different hair transitions. You know, I experiment with color. I grow it out. I cut it.
Well, what about growing up? Was it much of an issue for you as a young girl growing up?
It was. I had long, thick, bushy hair when I was growing up, and it always sort of felt like it was, at least some of my earlier memories were of being picked on or being noted as the girl who was light skinned with long hair, and she thinks she's better than us because her hair is this way. So those are my earliest memories of my experience with my hair, but I also have really fond memories also of my hair and my family and being in community with the women in my family.
Well, you know, you mentioned light skin. You know that skin is, we know that skin is a marker too.
Yes.
in African-American communities. Is it the same with hair? Is it that kind of a marker?
Absolutely, it is. I would imagine that generally speaking, fair-skinned women are typically are considered to have good hair because their hair is straighter. And so that means that sometimes dark-skinned women are considered to have bad hair because it's kinkier or the curl pattern is tighter. So
so this is a real term of art then.
Oh, yeah.
Good hair.
Good hair. Yes.
Everybody's nodding. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've had experience with this and you've been thinking about it. Mm-hmm. It really came to consciousness in college when you saw yourself. And again, I suppose as part of a very small minority population, felt it even more deeply.
Yes, very small. And of course, in that environment for me, everything different about myself was magnified. You know, my attitude, my perspective. I felt like in many respects that I was looked to as being the authority on blackness, the one voice in this crowd, and really not the responsibility I wanted to have. Because, of course, there are many different black experiences, and I had one that was very different from many other people.
So you felt the pressure to represent and come up with the hairstyle?
I did.
Wow. That's a lot of pressure. When did the idea of a play begin to germinate?
Well, during that time in grad school in Naropa, because I was at a Buddhist-inspired university where we were being asked to pay attention to what was present and what was coming up for us, and, you know, really looking at that that material and finding ways to put that into creative process. So identity for me was something that I was paying attention to, in addition to looking for my community. I realized that what I was missing was this community of women, and I was also very fascinated about why hair was so powerful to us. And why it was
and
so
hard
emotional.
Hard to let go of.
Absolutely.
Let go of your hair.
And
you've
yeah.
it's hard
and as
to
many
do.
Times as I've cut my hair, it's always difficult. Yeah. It's always hard.
Well, so tell us now about the characters that you've created for the stage production. Moni and Genevieve cousins. We meet them as little girls in the opening of the play. What should we know about them?
Yes. So they sort of hang out at Grandma's house. That's their meeting place. We see them at about 10 years old when the play opens. Genevieve is light skin, long hair. Moni is dark skin, shorter hair. And we sort of see those dynamics play out in their relationship. Genevieve's mother and father attain more education than Moni's single mom. And so it turns out that she moves to the other side of town and they get a larger house and she's exposed to Jack and Jill and all sorts of other privileged environments that also affects their relationship.
Well, we can do a scene now because, as I said, three actors are here. Yolanda Rayburn plays Aunt Brenda. Hazel Edmund is Aunt Sandra. And Aurelia Belfield is Genevieve. And I wonder if I can ask you to do a scene for us right now.
Okay, sure. I am in the sixth grade and in a place of greater tension regarding my hair. It is my first year at this whitewashed middle school that matriculates my white peers and me with a group of students from the projects, some black girls who can't afford to maintain their hair.
So, like, I don't know, like, I mean, like, when I was, when I was going to my locker, I mean, he was all, like, totally, like, looking at me, like.
Okay, so, like, if he, like, completely, like, he turned his head. No, like, he looked at you, like, no, he looked you in your eye. Oh, yes. God, oh, my God, you must have totally wanted to pass out.
Well, he looked at me, but I didn't pass out. Here I am with my thick thighs and round booty. I let my curls from the salon fall until it seems that I too have something tousled, free, acceptable, fine even. I know this performance is a lie when I attend Sarah James's pool party and am surrounded by white girls. As soon as my head hits the water, my hair shoots wildly from my scalp. And in a pool where each girl's hair is undulate against her face like the waver of some intense heat, my hair has become nappy, kinky. In the words of some intolerable anthropologists, my hair has gone native. I am ashamed, embarrassed. I keep my head under the water for as long as I can stand. The weight of the water making my hair heavy, too heavy for it to spring up.
What happened to your hair, Genevieve?
I got it wet in the pool.
What happened to your swim cap, Genevieve?
None of the other girls are wearing a swim cap, so I didn't want to wear no stinking swim
cap. Don't sass me, young lady. Now, I specifically instructed you to wear your swim cap and to keep your narrow behind in the shallow end so you wouldn't get your hair wet.
Mom!
You mean to tell me you've been running around with these white folks with your hair looking like that? Girl, I don't know what's gotten into you, but you need to listen to me.
There it is, a scene from the new play, I Love My Hair When It Looks Good, and then again when it looks defiant and impressive, performed by Aurelia Belfield, Hazel Edmund, and Yolanda Rayburn. Shaughnessy Webb is the playwright and director, all of them in the studio now. Boy, that pressure is generations old. It comes to you from all angles, doesn't it?
It does.
It's not something you just sort of feel in the moment. You've been taught to feel
the
pressure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? I mean, that scene in particular, you know, it's important the way you look, the way you present yourself, and your hair represents not only you, but your family and more.
tell us about the title of this play.
Yeah, it's a take on a quote by Zora Neale Hurston. And she sort of talks about how she loves herself and she's looking mean and impressive after she sees a photo of herself. And Zora Neale Hurston has been such an inspiration to me as a black woman, as an artist, and I just really have really appreciated her work.
It's an interesting idea, the idea that it can look good. It can be part of the sort of the beauty, but then also a statement. It is a political statement. So if it's not going so well, you just make it a statement, right?
Absolutely.
So let me ask the actors in this play, and I'll start with Yolanda Rayburn and go around the table. If you, in doing this play, you sort of have to become more self-conscious. You start thinking more about your hair.
You absolutely do. As a matter of fact, my hair is actually natural in its original state, but I get it pressed with a comb, a hot comb, which is something that used to be done quite some time ago. And in the process of doing this play, I decided to wash my hair and just let it go natural one day just to see and feel what that is like. And it was wonderful. It was great. My youngest child actually loved it and said he wanted me to keep my hair that way. But it's certainly, I think, put more focus on how I take care of myself, especially my hair. And one of the roles that I play in the show as Aunt Brenda is to have an afro. And that afro is a huge political statement, as it was during the day that afros were really prominent. But interestingly, even now, people are wearing afros. And less of a political statement, but more of a almost a stance on who we are in being able to wear our hair natural just because it's beautiful.
Well, it just takes on more layering because it's a political statement with a historical reference.
Absolutely.
Now. So then the layers become even deeper and more complex.
Yeah.
Well, Hazel, let me ask you about your hair and how you think about it now that you're in this play.
Well, being in this play has caused me to think about my childhood memories. My parents were always very much on me about how I looked, how my hair looked. And it didn't matter if it was in braids, in twist, loose, whatever. I just needed to look presentable. And that was from head to toe.
And it gets harder and harder to look presentable.
Yes.
It turns out it's not as easy as it sounds, right? Wow. Well, let me ask you, Aurelia.
Oh, I guess I don't really think about my hair that much. I went natural when I was in high school because I didn't want to think about it that much. Yeah. And I come from a background where my mother wore her hair a million different ways when I was growing up. She had dreadlocks, she had it short, she had a weave, she had a relaxer, she did it all. So it was never, from my household, it was never a focus, but from the outside world, I was the girl with light skin and big, bushy, curly hair.
And you've embraced it.
I live
in that moment.
I kind of love it. I started watching A Different World when I was a kid, and I saw Cree Summer, and that was my life. That's the rest of my life.
Shaughnessy, you spent some time on this concept of the accidental embrace during the show. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, when I was putting this piece together, one of the things I discovered was the thing that I miss that I feel like I'm commenting on is how the connection of community and even the physical touch that happens in caretaking, and particularly way back in the day. My earliest memories are sitting on the floor in between my grandmother's legs or my mom's legs, somebody, you know, taking care of my hair. And I call that moment like an accidental embrace because you're sort of there together in this moment. And really, it's an opportunity for sharing of stories, family history. And I feel like in many ways we've lost that. Yeah. You know, we don't do so much of that anymore.
Well, it's sort of wonderfully complex, isn't it? I mean, on the one hand, you can feel the oppression of looking presentable and how mm-hmm. difficult that can be. But it's also a form of attention and mm-hmm. concern that things go well for you. And so you can't help mm-hmm. but take it that way, however oppressive it might end up being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty complicated affair. What and so who is hair for ultimately? Mm-hmm. I mean, does it appeal to men? Does it make your mother proud of you? I mean, what all now that you've had to really tease out these ideas? I'll use that pun as second.
Nice.
It's all very complicated. I was recently having a conversation about how I really feel like women in general, I think all women, no matter you know, what race you are challenged by making decisions about their hair based on what other people think. And unfortunately, based on men's opinions, you know, what you need to do to get a man, how you have to keep a man, mm-hmm. And wanting to make transitions, but not being sure if your partner will be supportive. I mean, there's just so many really challenging things right. to consider. But I think it's a real powerful statement when you can make the decision that you feel comfortable and confident about as a woman as it relates to your hair. It is a statement of identity, and to be able to do that regardless of what you believe others may say, I think is pretty courageous.
And it kind of makes you wonder whether we have any kind of objective vision. In other words, what it is that appeals to us, if that's even possible if we have any personal sort of objective aesthetic. It's all pretty culturally based.
Yeah, I think that's why the show is for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's not just for women. It's not just for black people. It's for any and everyone, and even children included. I can't wait for the experience that each and every person is going to have, because it's going to be different for each one of them.
Yes.
And what they're going to take. Some parts they're not going to understand, but some parts are going to be informed and then walk away with an understanding. So I think it's great on so many different levels. I encourage everyone to come and see it.
And there's music written by our own Shauna Tucker.
Absolutely. My dear, dear, dear friend, Shauna Tucker. We started collaborating on this, maybe almost 2 years ago, not long after I moved back to Durham. I met Shauna through another project and, you know, had this little tiny idea to create some sound for this project. And we didn't know what we were doing. And I think still discovering that. The same has been the case with Aya Shabu, who's the choreographer for the piece.
Well, we're going to hear some of that music as we close our program. But first, let me thank all of you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Shaughnessy Webb directs Yolanda Raybon, Hazel Edmond, and Aurelia Belfield in I Love My Hair When It Looks Good and Again When It Looks Defiant and Impressive. Play opens tomorrow night, March 8th at Man Bites Dog Theater in Durham. Runs through the 17th. Visit I Love My Hair. ThePlay.com for more information. And this is the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. We leave you with the music of Shauna Tucker from the play I Love My Hair.
It's gonna be alright, gonna be alright, gonna be okay. It's gonna be alright, gonna be okay. Whoa, it's gonna be alright, gonna be alright. Alright, it's gonna be okay. Oh, it's gonna be alright, gonna be alright, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be alright.